Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am T.J. Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers.
Yes, you do.
Taj and Terrell Jackson. How are you guys?
What's going on, T?
What's going on?
Good. Nothing much is going on, of course. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Hanging in there.
Terrell?
Hanging?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, we are live on the Power of Love Show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we are going to take phone calls. And of course, if you don't want to call because you're shy, you can reach out to us via Twitter. And that handle is at DDJ Foundation. The letters DDJ, the word foundation. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Please don't do that. Let's get straight into it. Taj, Tara, how are your weeks? Who wants to go first?
We'll go first, Taj.
It's been a little while, right? Especially for you, Terrell, right?
Yeah, because we didn't have... I don't think we had... Did we have a show last week?
No, not last week, and I want to say not the week before.
I wasn't able to make it the week before, I think.
So talk to us. How have you been?
Man, been busy. It's been hectic and crazy. I was coaching Bryce's basketball game.
Okay.
Bryce's baseball season started, so I'm coaching Bryce's baseball team, and I'm coaching Adrian's team. So I was the head coach of three teams at once, which was a lot. And the basketball season ended.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a little drama on our team, and we had two players, well, they're brothers, twins, that quit the team going into the playoffs. Drama.
Okay.
It's just
whatever. Okay.
And they were actually my second and third picks, so they were high up there. And I only had a team of eight. So we were supposed to not do anything in the playoffs, but we actually won our two playoff games and got to the championship game.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
without your second and third picks.
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
And we actually won those games very easily. We won by 10, averaged like 10 points.
Wow.
And one was 17.
Wow.
Then we got to the championship game and we kind of fell apart and we got away from what we were doing and we lost by 5 points.
That's not bad though.
No, not at all. And it was sad because one of our players was crying, and he was one of the ones that never really played basketball.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of my biggest issues with this team, was that it was about teamwork.
Yeah.
And I, you know, they're so young, you know, and there's obviously you're going to get kids that
nine
never played before. Yes, 9 and 10 year olds. You're going to get kids that never played before, so they're not as advanced skill.
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding the game. But my goal is in any sport, I always tell them we're going to give 100% and we're going to improve.
Yeah.
Whatever level you're at, we're going to work and improve. And I was trying to teach the team to become a team, which was difficult in certain situations. But overall, we got to the championship game and we played well. And
which then is very impressive.
Yeah. And then we got away from the whole team thing, which was tough.
Yeah.
But
it happens.
It's all right. But it was a great season overall.
Good.
And it overlapped. This was where the problem was. It overlapped with my first game.
Baseball.
Bryce's team. So Bryce actually missed his opening day game, and so did I, because I don't have an assistant for basketball. So happened at the same time.
It's okay.
But yeah.
Now you're in baseball season.
So yeah, now I'm in baseball season, and it's going to be fun.
Very good.
Hopefully.
Taj, have you been having fun this last week or 2 weeks?
Not really. I don't even remember everything. I mean,
You've been in Europe.
You went to the UK, right?
Yeah, I've been to the UK. I've been doing interviews for every country imaginable, you know. But I feel it's important to get the word out about
the truth.
And it's tiring, I'm not gonna lie. I think what's even more tiring about everything is just...
And you're speaking about regarding
my uncle Michael, our uncle Michael, basically, and this this ridiculous movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we're dealing with now that, you know, people don't even need truth anymore. They just need a platform.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think the tiring thing for me is kind of, they've had 5, 6, 7 different stories and events in terms of, like, they can't keep their stories straight. And it's hard because it's like, I have to sit here and I have to remember all 7 of them, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, mm-hmm. it's like, I have to figure out which one are they talking about so that I can, you know, explain it and defend it. And it's like, I shouldn't even have to do that. People should be researching and looking for themselves, and people yeah. aren't. They're just,
well, I think the biggest issue is we have to figure out as a society a better law, because defaming, not being able to defame the dead, and correct me, Todd, if I'm saying that wrong, but when someone dies, for you to be able to say whatever you want about them with no repercussions is a very dangerous,
it changes
unethical.
History. It can change history.
It can change history. And there's no pushback. There's nothing that keeps them in check. No one can say whatever they want about me, because they can, but there's, if I decide to, I can sue them. I could bring, you know, let them know. I could take them to court and tell the judge, you know, he damaged me, or I had to spend time fighting this, or now I don't have as many clients, or whatever it is I am. I can go and do something about it. But when you die, there is none of that. It's open season. And I think that's something that I'm so surprised that society has not fixed or really cared to change. Because I get it. The dead's not going to be able to sue. I understand that. But there's family, there's kids, and there's people that love people who pass. And that's something that I strongly hope, you know, I don't expect it to change anytime soon.
Well, there's people working on that, trying to get it changed.
From before this movie?
There's a couple people that want this to be a law.
It should be.
It's common sense.
It's common sense, you know, and it needs to happen, because otherwise it's unfair. It's unfair to someone who cannot even defend themselves. But Todd, I apologize if I cut you off. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I can't even think that far ahead. I you know, every day has been at least 1 or 2 interviews, maybe 3. I guess the great balance is just my daughter, you know, just looking at her and realizing that, you know, in the grand scheme of things will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time heals.
Well, I think people are finding out too, the truth.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely people are actually
starting
researching.
To see it. Yeah.
And this is a little off topic, but on behalf of my brothers and I and our family, we want to thank all of you who are interested in the truth regarding that movie and are doing their part, sharing the truth. And, you know, just supporting it, it does mean a lot, and it re-inspires us, because I'm drained from it mentally. I can only imagine how you feel, Taj. I know it's real tiring for you. We're all drained. I'm looking at Terrell. He looks like he wants to take a nap.
Yeah,
it's tiring.
It's hard.
But you know, everyone out there who's supporting and doing their part and staying strong, thank you, because it inspires us to do the same, and we love you for that. As we've said, our uncle was the most beautiful human. He did so much, not only for us, for our family, but for the world. He cared so much about the world and the well-being of our planet, and everyone, you know, from like I always say, from the male species, the female, to children, to animals, to the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has songs about everyone and trying to make a change for everyone. And I think this is a good kind of segue into our theme, because I think the media needs to be put in check a bit, you know, and I just am very, this was my first, I mean, I've experienced the media. I've experienced the power they've had. I've experienced how they can report what they want.
And silence what they don't.
And silence what they don't want to be reported. And saying that, though, this is, I think it's gotten worse.
Yeah, this was very low to me.
It's gotten worse. And there's so many things out there. And thank goodness for social media. because yeah. social media is like the big check, as in checks and balances. Mm-hmm. And the social media is something where the people and the people who are interested in doing research get some type of power. And thank goodness for that. So, Mr. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you creators, thank you. But I'll tell you what, guys, and I'm not the most political guys. You guys know that. This whole thing has put into question for me on everything. On everything. I don't trust anything with what they were able to
so far. You weren't like that before?
No.
Oh, man.
I thought there was more of a... No. Of a duty to report facts.
Oh, man, where have you been living?
But even like...
Seriously.
No. Okay, tabloid, got it.
No.
But even like the
montage on this one.
No.
So when... And again, I'm not the biggest political guy. I'm going to go down there for a minute. Okay?
Oh.
I'm not a big political guy. And I don't... So I don't dive into politics. And I don't like to comment on it. But I've always had issues with the way... Trump kind of led people as a whole. Okay. When the Charlottesville, that tragedy yes. happened a couple years ago, I hated what he said, how there was wrong on both sides. I don't think that's the right, even if he felt there was, that's not what a leader should be doing. There's multiple situations like that that have made me very, you know, not supportive of him as a president and as a leader. Saying that, I am 100% with them when it comes to fake news. I've experienced it. It's fake news.
But you should have experienced it way before.
But it's like, now it's got me questioning everything
In 2005, I was there at Neverland, and I would literally turn on the TV and see. See, I don't think you watched a lot of the trial.
I know exactly where you
And I saw people that I thought I respected just basically lie. And lie about Neverland and lie about, and so I learned right away. And then Mesro would come back, you know, and I would ask him how it went, and he would fill me in, and I would be like,
I remember that.
And completely I'd be like, what? It'd be completely different. I'm like, one of these two people are lying. Either the media's lying or Mesro's lying. Yeah. I found out which one was lying.
Yeah,
but I think that's the thing is that you know I learned from a long time ago that, I mean, look, we grew up with. You know, oxygen chambers and Pirates of the Caribbean and underground or backyard. It's like, I was always skeptical because people, at the end of the day, it's about making money. Mm-hmm. I think when the news was about, when things weren't owned by corporations, it was about the truth, you know, mm-hmm. and they prided themselves on delivering the truth. Now it's about delivering headlines and clickbait.
And that's something that we're going to discuss for this show. We're going to talk about the media. We're going to talk about how unfortunate it is that negativity is the seller. That negativity drives what we see on the media and how that affects our lives. You know, I was thinking maybe there needs to be something called the Truth Channel. Where it's just
the problem is I don't think people
care. Someone has to care.
Yeah, but not enough. Because people enjoy negativity. The majority.
People like living in a bubble.
It's not. It's okay.
Because it makes them feel better.
Okay, I got that. And here's another thing. I mean, it is part of human experience. Like I say, if you see a fight, at least for males, women I know are different. Maybe not. But if you see a fight. You kind of watch or a car
women
that got
do
that an
accident. With like gossip and other women.
There you go.
Tearing each other down.
But like, okay.
We do it with physical. They do it with emotional.
Okay. So if you're driving down the highway and you see an accident, people slow down to see.
And I shouldn't generalize. Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't generalize. Yeah, but we got what you're saying.
I was saying that's at least in America.
So I think like that's part of just how we're built. However, just because I think we're built that way in a way. In a sense, I don't feel media should push that. And it makes me wonder, maybe there needs to be certain channels that is funded. But then if it's funded by the government, then it's so it's a no-win situation. No. So the best bet
that's where YouTube
is for
comes
you
in, honestly.
To do your research and study. And
I hate to say it. Yeah.
And because, Todd, you told me about an interesting interesting documentary you watched regarding Taylor and as a parent.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners about that.
Well, the thing is, you know, we're at that, Taylor's at that age where vaccinations, mm-hmm. you know, and I honestly, when all this first started happening, I didn't listen to anything. It wasn't even on my radar. But then as it came up, I was like, okay, what do we do?
Okay.
'Cause I've heard, you know, all this anti-vax, I've heard vax, you know, I've heard people close to me tell me about it, mm-hmm. and other people say no, you know. And so we decided to see a documentary called Vaxxed.
V-A-X-X-E-D,
I think.
We
saw it on Netflix.
Okay.
But, and we saw it actually before, I guess Amazon, some other platforms actually pulled it.
Oh.
Recently.
You don't know why?
I guess they got pressure from the government.
Interesting.
You know, because this will be part of the story. But basically, they said that there wasn't enough research either. I don't know what it is, but they got pressure to pull it. In terms of experts said there's not data on this.
Okay. And the premise of the documentary Vaxxed is?
Basically that certain vaccines, if they're taken by younger, you know, your kids at a certain age and a certain ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
has a higher rate of actually developing autism and other complications.
Mm.
And so,
see, now
in saying that, I mean, it was very powerful, but then I, knowing my critical thinking, did some research,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and it's like, I always want to get balanced info. You know, I don't just take something, but I can tell you if I just inhaled all of that, I'd be like, there's no, I'm my kid's not getting one vaccine, you know, shot whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I did some research of, and you have to do that to counter, in a way.
As I get older, I realize that it's not about, at least here it feels like that. I can't speak for the whole world, but I feel like it's not about the well-being of our society. It's about the dollars.
Yeah.
Of course. And if the government pulled Vaxxed because of lack of research,
well, they
could be true.
They
but I personally think it was more because of the effect it was having financially in the industry. And to add to that, you wanted to say something?
No, and well, the bottom line is she did get two of her shots.
Okay,
you know, there's one shot that we're waiting on because at a certain age, there's a less of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's way too, yeah. So that will be happening way later.
So, and in my own personal experience, I haven't watched a documentary in a while that would sway me either way that way. But I've read a book. I've been reading a lot of books on fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many people in my inner circle have not cared about my fasting. And I've gotten to the point where I'm eating only once a day. Sometimes twice, but primarily once a day, and I feel better. You know, I'm losing weight. I feel better. I've done my research. I like it. Okay, but all the research, the mainstream research, is you need to eat as much as you can.
Yeah,
keep feeding your body.
Mm-hmm.
Eat three times. You know, three meals and snack in between, and then it's like you drive down, you see all these restaurants. So it's like, at what point is this baloney? And it's right, just the food garbage. Industry. But check this. It's not just the food industry that wants us to eat so much. It's also the health industry, because they're not feeding us the best things. So there's a health issue too, because, you know, like there's a type of diabetes that will actually, it's proven to go down by fasting.
Mm.
Okay. So it's like they want to keep
really
us.
Do have to do
they want to keep us relying on medicine and relying on filling these hospitals and relying on making us get these insurance. With the hospitals filled, the insurance goes up and the insurance companies. So now I'm very skeptical on a lot of things, but I never thought it would also be, I shouldn't say never. I was disappointed with how bad it is concerning Uncle Michael,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's so much things that should be headline news that are just getting ignored.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's and thank goodness for John. Well, first of all, Charles out in UK for doing that press. Danny Oliver, who's done some press, and John Ziegler here in the States, who's out of nowhere, just and John's a conservative, I believe. He's come out of nowhere just really diving into this topic, you know, and thank goodness for people like him that are caring about getting the truth out there. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how you feel, at least seek the truth.
The truth.
Seek the truth. And I think that's so important in today's world because we cannot just rely on media. Malcolm X had an amazing quote that I've noticed and known for a good year or so, but now it's even more profound to me. Does any of my co-hosts know that quote? That would you two.
Of the Malcolm X one?
Yes.
No.
I don't know. The media is... I mean, just off the top of my head.
I think I know which
the media,
one. No, I don't know which one, actually.
It's something like the media has the power to make an innocent man
I've
guilty
seen it.
And a guilty man
innocent. You posted this quote, didn't you?
I haven't posted this one. There's two.
You sure?
I posted
I
one.
I saw you post something that I liked. I think it was you.
Okay, so the one that I did post, Terrell, was if you're not careful, the newspapers... will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing.
Okay.
That one I did, but there's another one.
And that isn't that what I just said?
Go ahead, Taj. I'm listening.
No, is it something like the media is...
yeah, Taj.
Something where they'll make the so, guilty...
Yeah, yeah. So the other one is...
I'm just doing it off the top of my head, so I'm not cheating.
Yeah, it's very good. Here's another Malcolm X quote. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. Right there alone. I mean, and these are quotes that... Now I'm questioning any negativity that was said on Malcolm X. It's almost to the point where I'm questioning anyone, from Putin to anyone. I don't trust them. I just don't trust them, you know? And anyway, the media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power because they control the minds of the masses. Uh-huh. Yeah. And this was had to be given when? In the 60s? Taj? We weren't all great history students.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
So.
History is my worst subject.
But it just shows to prove that even back then... this is an issue. Yeah. And I'm excited because I think in 30, 40 years when social media, I think there will be, this will be less of an issue. Mm-hmm. However, then there's going to be a bunch of nonsense out there being shared and being, so it's incredibly important for each of us to be critical thinkers and to do our own research.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, well, I have a few things.
Yes, please talk.
I think when you're talking about, I'm going back a little bit, but with the diet and the health, I think that's a way of control. You know, it's all when you depend on something, when you depend on, you know, I'm one that doesn't even like to take medication. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even like taking aspirins. I'll take it once in a while when my headache's really bad, but I don't like relying and depending. Yeah, I don't like relying and depending on you know, any type of medication. And I feel that's a way of controlling because it's almost like they give you one pill for something, then you start having another problem, and then they give you another pill for that. And then before you know it, you're taking four or five different types of medication.
Yeah.
And that's more money and more control for them. So to me, it is a form of controlling. And you do have to wonder if what they're telling you is actually fact and actually the best, because you can go in a whole bunch of different areas and you'll realize that what they're telling you isn't always fact.
So what we also want to do is we want to get your calls, if anyone wants to call.
No, we never talked about your week, but
well, okay, yeah, it's okay.
Well, I'd like to mention your son's birthday.
Rio's turned 4 on Sunday. Rio. But besides that, it was not much going on besides Marvel, Captain Marvel. That was pretty good.
Right.
But anyway,
happy birthday, Rio.
Happy birthday, Rio. Anyway, we want to hear from you. If there's any topic that you thought one way because of what you were told, and then you've, after doing research or after getting older and seeing things differently or hearing a conversation from someone, did it change your mind on it? And, I think that's a cool topic to discuss. Okay, we're going to take a quick phone call. I don't know if they're going to know that answer, but let's take a quick phone call and hear from the audience. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hey, TJ, it's Meredith.
How are you, Meredith?
I'm doing fine. I tuned in probably about 10 minutes after you guys started, but I heard three things I heard you guys talk about. Todd, when he was talking about critical thinking, And then when you brought up the media, and then I don't know if it was Carol or Tosh that brought up the issue with medication.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are like totally things that I deal with right now, especially like with the medication part. I was on this one medication for about, I'll say at least 10 years. And this year, they upped the amount of my deductible to like over $400. Mm-hmm. And I got to refill these medications like every 30 days. So I was like, that's too high. I can't pay $400 like that every month. So I literally had to wean myself off of the medication. I'm thinking everything that I was taking the medication for, I still was having the same symptoms while I was on the medication. So I was started thinking, why was I even on the medication if it wasn't even doing what it was supposed to do? That's crazy.
Yeah. Why were you on it even in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't make sense. So, you know, it's a lot of things, and it all ties into what Todd said about critical thinking, too, because I'm that type of person. I can hear something on TV, I can read something on social media, and I'm going to be like, okay, wait a minute, let me research. Especially, I'm just using this as an example, Black History Month.
Yeah.
I see so many posts out there with, oh, this person did this, this person did that. And I'm like, okay, that's good, of course, but I said, let me do my research. Then I'll go in and read that this have been like a myth that went down through history that people have passed on. That's not even true.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people pick up on stuff so fast and run with it without doing their research. And to me, I don't want to get caught up in that, so I definitely always look up research. I said, let me see if this is true. Now, media is my biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
When you said how the media controls society and people don't realize they're framing what we're thinking, you cannot depend on everything you hear, whether it's the news,
whether
it's social media.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and do your research and make sure you know what you're talking about. That's why I don't post a lot of stuff that I hear, because I don't know what could come out next and say it, that I was wrong, and then I look crazy for posting. Plus, to me, that's not my job. I'm not a journalist, so I'm not going to be posting things like that. But it's just that media, people don't realize you can't just believe everything because you see it or read it on the Internet. You have to do your research. And I know that's something you guys have been dealing with right now by telling people research, research, research.
Yeah.
Because you really do. You got to research before you fall for what you hear.
Love it.
Yeah, so true. And there's a thing called agenda, too. Like, what's their agenda, you know? It's like that's...
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a big one, and that's the thing. Everyone pretends that there's no agenda behind all this, and there is.
I think they rely on a false sense. I think people have a false sense that because they hear it from a power, whether it's media or wherever, that there was some research done.
Yeah.
That there was a balance, there was a
like
conscious...
Like, it wouldn't be here...
There's no way
HBO would have it on their network
if it wasn't true. So yeah. there's like a mentality that, but what people have to understand, it's all business.
Yeah.
If there was another time slot that would have worked better for them, that's where it would have been. Mm. If there was another movie that would have worked better, that's what it would have been. And I think it's so important that we take back some of that trust that we put in, not only the media, but as in Meredith's case, and I hate to say it because I have nothing but love and respect for people who are in medicine and study, but at the same time, we have to make sure we can't just take information as fact.
Right.
We can't.
That's what it is.
You know, and it's a very dangerous thing. They want... The world is kind of made in a way where I know what you're laughing at, Cheryl, my arms, because I'm trying to get the words from the air into my head, and Cheryl's giggly. But we have to figure a way to really put the power back in the people's hands, in a sense, you know.
I think it comes down to, there's two things that people need is trust.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to trust people, and it's hard, but because those people are often money. Money is always at the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to trust a doctor or an insurance company or whoever it may be. You know, are they telling you the truth? Do you really need this, or is it about money for them?
And that's why That's why I feel that America has to figure a way to kind of go to the system that the vast majority of the world uses, where it's universal health care. And why, Taj? Because of the financial...
It's too much money in it.
I
wish it did, you know.
But...
I'm hoping that it would.
I don't know.
But we're a capitalistic country. Yeah. You know, it's all about money. It's money before everything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
That's...
Well, this the thing with the school system that's going on right now, that's another example. Mm-hmm. And to me, I feel like I'm a part of that because my daughter tried to get into one of those schools, and I felt that she had the grades. Mm-hmm. She had, you know, she graduated early, but she wasn't accepted. Now, that's not to say there wasn't, you know, there still was other students that may have even higher grades, but when you feel that you know your child did everything to try to get in there, and then you hear stories like that, I just thought about it. I'm like, everything is about money with this society, and that's the sad part. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. It's like I tell people all the time, I know that. I'm like, I know everything's about money. I know it's about who you know. I know it's about prestige. It's like it's always been like that, and that's the thing I wish would change.
Well, yeah, and you, that's a great point, because the thing is, and I've been saying this for, you know, since I was young, is like who we put on a pedestal, you know? It's like for me that the heroes are the nurses, you know, the teachers, you know, the people, the police, the people that are working hard, you know, I should say the fair police, you know. It's like those but I think, you know, the people, the unsung heroes not you know, who has the most money, you know, in the world. You know, that's what we look at. We're like, "Oh, this person's the richest person in the world." So we should respect that person. It's like, no, what have they done? If now there's certain people that are billionaires that have donated lots of money and resource into helping the world, then I respect those people because they're actually using their money for good.
And real quick to inform everyone what Meredith is talking about with the college scandal.
College scandal.
There's a huge college admission scandal where dozens of people, including several successful actors and prominent businessmen, have been indicted in a college admission scheme. And authorities said parents have spent an average of between $250,000 and $400,000 per student. Yeah. And some facilitated their children being recruited as Division I athletes regardless of their athletic abilities. Mm-hmm. And there's universities such as Georgetown, USC, Stanford, University of Texas, Yale, Wake Forest, and UCLA. And again, it's money.
Yeah.
It's money, and it's unfair to people like you, Meredith, and your child. And again, of course, there could be a legitimate reason why they didn't get in the school, but now that you know this,
now it makes you wonder.
It makes you wonder,
right?
And it's
right.
I don't know if we as Americans can come off that capitalistic mentality as a whole. You know, I know there's some great people out there that, you know, don't put money on that top pedestal, but as a whole, are we going to be able to get past the point where you're suing for hundreds of millions and, you know, and you're paying $250,000 to $400,000 illegally to try to get your child who's not and doesn't deserve to be so into an elite college. And it's really tough. It's really tough when you've been kind of victimized by money. But Meredith, I want to thank you for calling.
Yes,
and
yeah.
It was an awesome phone call. And good luck with everything, okay?
Okay, same to you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's
the way it's set up. It's the way it's set up and what's behind it all for me. Because like Meredith, when Adrian was born, you know, he was born with a metabolic disorder. Mm-hmm. And I clearly remember speaking to the doctors, and I'm not a doctor. So it's anything he tells me, I have to depend and rely on him. And, you know, it turns out he needs a specific formula every month. It has to be this formula. It can't be any other. The formula is like, I think it's $600. For a, you know, tub, and
per tub,
wow. And guess what? Of course, it's not covered under insurance.
Yeah,
You know, so now it's like, but you have to have it. You have to have it. This is what he has to have. And what am I going to do?
It's not even covered by insurance. It's
not covered by insurance, of course. So now, you know, I'm spending $600 to $1,200, you know, sometimes it's two, but he has to have it. So that's what I'm relying on. And then on top of it, he's taking carnitine, you know, which is not covered now. What's and carnitine? That's only carnitine. It's You can get it over the counter, but this is like a special type of carnitine.
Okay.
And the thing with this is it's supposed to help, you know, it's supposed to help. What it does is it helps break down and it's supposed to help. So technically it should be doing something, but you can't really tell. And the risk is almost not worth, you know, what's the alternative for me? So that's, and it's not that it's more of like, does he really need this? And then you ask the doctor that delivered Adrian, and she's like, they put that on his thing. He was so low on the spectrum. So now you like what's
as
going
a parent,
on?
As a parent, you're just confused and
that
stressed.
That was one of the things that was very hard for Bree and I, is that whenever Adrian had a doctor's appointment, there was like five or six doctors coming in the room with pads and pencils. It was like he was a test baby because it's such a rare disorder that they were trying to get all notes and just made me feel uncomfortable.
Mm. That's good. Thanks for sharing that, Todd.
You know?
Thanks for sharing. Okay, well, Taj, what have you been doing, man?
Huh?
What have you been doing?
Nothing.
Taj, you know? I feel Taj is overloaded.
I am overloaded.
Are you at least checking the Twitter?
I have been checking. I have been checking. In the last 2 minutes, no.
Okay.
I'm responding to an interview request
But the thing that
I'm trying to multitask.
The thing that really is hard for me, and I'm sure you guys could relate, is, and I said this before the show started, is that we're aware of the media and how it works because we grew up in it. What upsets me and what's difficult for me is, and others can relate to this as well, maybe in different areas, is when you know the truth and it's not getting out there the way it should. And you see people attaching to a lie and running with it, and you seem like it's taking over the lie, and you feel like you can't do much about it. It's a very tough situation to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and you almost feel like it's you can't catch up to the lies.
Yeah.
You feel outnumbered, and they just keep running with it, and then they attach. Like, one of the things that really upset me, really annoys me to this day, is, I forget, is it Rose McGowan?
Yeah.
From McGowan, the Me Too movement. Yeah. It's like she it's almost like with Wade and
James,
it's like so brave and to speak your truth, and it just irritates me because it's taking advantage of the Me Too movement. You know?
Yeah. Well,
they get the support from them, and now because she says it, now everybody who supports Me Too and her and follows her, now they feel like we got to back these two up because they're part of our thing. And it's all lies.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, too, you have to remember, these are all strangers. Like, none of them knew Uncle Michael. You know, none of them even knew Wade. Everyone that knew Wade is actually coming to our defense. You know,
that's what bothers me.
Everyone that knew,
like her, should know better.
Yeah. Everyone that knew Uncle Michael is coming to our defense. So the thing is like, the more removed you are, the more you think he's guilty. The more actually you know the situation, the more you are screaming at the top of your lungs, this is a setup and this is false. So you have to look at the context of the people that are actually defending my uncle. And I don't like to use the word defending because it sounds like there's something.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that are basically, you know, exposing these liars, I would want to say. And it's like, it's so amazing. Strangers that don't know anything about anything watch a movie and then feel that they have the need and they know better than everyone else.
Yeah.
That's like me watching a movie about someone's parent and saying, I know how they are now. And you're like, I lived with them for over 30 years. I think I know my parent better than you know your parent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it takes a lot of guts and a lot of cojones.
Yes. And what is cojones? So people know, Taj, educate the people.
Basketballs. Balls. Okay. Yeah.
Taj, I love you. All right. I just think it's important. I think the main thing we want to get across is that, and not just regarding our uncle, but really regarding anything.
The danger of the media.
The media is very powerful. You have to do your own research. You have to do critical thinking.
There's great journalists out there. We're not saying that. There are some incredible and some brave journalists out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you right now, speaking to some of these journalists, they're feeling the pressure too, because they put out something and all of a sudden everyone's on their throat and everyone's telling them to change their story, or, you know, why did you do this? You're enabling this and you're protecting this. And so it's like, that's why we're not hearing a lot from journalists, because in reality, they have everything to lose and very little to gain.
I am going to change up just a bit.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the media? We're going to stay on the media.
Okay.
But how can we talk about its portrayal, its reliance on negative news,
mm-hmm.
death, you know, like the news and, mm-hmm. And just bad things. Can we talk about its reliance on that and how that influences people?
Good.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to say something before you switch topic, but it kind of leads into this.
Let's hear it.
Let me get it out, and then we can go in there as well.
Let's hear it.
The thing that bothers me a lot about this MJ, sorry to be on MJ a lot, but bothers
Tell me. Tell us, Tara.
I don't even know the guy. I know Safecheck, right? James and Wade?
Yeah.
I feel they can come out tomorrow and say this was all a joke and all a lie, and they can do that. It will not get the same push from the media.
Not even close.
It will. Yeah. It'll
be
and
fair.
Then the thing that really upsets me is there's people that even though they said that, they won't believe it. They'll believe that they were
forced to say
it. Yes, they're forced to say it. So now you still have a mess. Yeah. And that's the problem I have.
Yeah.
Because negativity, once again, rules.
Very good points. So you know? Now how does it...
And it creates confusion and smear. So now it's like you've already messed up the minds of people that, you know, they could come out and say it was all a lie. It was all a lie. I feel really bad now. And there's people that will believe the Leaving Neverland.
That, and that's always that's always been the case. I mean, when people are sued for whatever, you know, that's the damage to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that the news around the clock picks it up and posts it.
Right.
And then they use, you know, words like allegedly, slightly,
yes.
and reportedly.
Yes.
And so they get away with it. And like you said, Terrell, when it turns out, even Chris Brown went through this.
Yes.
Not too long ago, where, you know, some woman claimed he sexually assaulted her.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was livid,
yes,
you know,
and fought it.
And it was one of those things where half the world was like, Chris Brown's at it again, you
yep.
know, because of his past.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out nothing happened,
right.
you know, and he was innocent. And, but if it happens again, it's like, how many times is this going to happen? You know? So it's like, and that's another thing. I don't like that if there's smoke, there's fire. I don't agree with that. I've learned to not agree with that. It depends on your level of popularity and, you know, because sure, for some things, sure, I get it. Mm-hmm. If there's smoke, there's fire. But when you're a public figure, you guys have to understand the amount of money that goes in to on a title, on a headline, to try to get you to
creating those fires.
To creating those fires, exactly.
Yeah.
These are like arsonists.
Right. Yeah. And then
the media's got the matches.
Then they know to make the fires go away, you know, a lot of the times they just settle.
Yeah.
So and that's a lot of money. But my question is
yes.
why is it that negativity rules like this in that way? Why
Well, that's society now. It's so.
Because you see it in movies too.
Yeah, it's, well. It's social media. I mean, it is.
No, it's before that.
It's always been.
But it's compounded now. Now, because everything is a certain amount of characters, so headlines have to grab people's attention.
Okay.
You know,
I like that.
The clickbait has to be salacious.
Okay.
Has to be over the top.
You know, and so. Everything has to capture something. It's not like people will actually spend 5 minutes
but
to research something.
But why can't something positive capture us? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How come the man that saves, you know, five kids
the
from
feel
an
good
accident
story?
doesn't
it does to certain people. It just doesn't for
the majority.
Majority of people.
Yeah.
Those are the same people that, you know, that are picking up National Enquirer and all those other ones that, you know, that know that it's not true but just want to hear, you know, stupid stories.
But why is that? Why? Because it seems like there's
a
lot more people that want the stupid stories.
I think it's a combination. I think, we're kind of, like I said, we're I don't know if it's a survival tactic, but we're just kind of programmed to witness and watch negative things and be interested in it. I can't explain that. I'm not a psychologist. But I think another part is that, sadly, for a lot of us, we want to see train wrecks around us, so we feel better.
Think about it. Probably gladiator events, you know, public hangings, guillotines. You know, that's public spectacles. That's someone dying or someone fighting for their lives. That's our nature. You know, we like to see that. We like to, that's a sport to people. So all that is, it's not like something new.
It's really sad. It's really sad. It's and I'll be honest. I mean, I've gotten more into things like mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. And I love it because it's great for me. And as I feel good and I like doing it. But in terms of watching it, and those can get gruesome.
Yeah.
But I've actually started to enjoy to watch that more.
Yeah.
But it's primarily because I understand the art of it. It's not just to see two guys hurt each other, or two women hurt each other. It's because I'm interested in, oh, she has no balance. So how's she going to get out of this? Yeah. Oh, you know, it's so before I didn't like to watch it, but now, but
I think before too, and I don't know what it's like now, but before there was a sportsmanship to it and there's a respect in it.
I still, in UFC there is.
There still is that?
Oh, 100%.
Because I know in certain things now it's like, you know, I don't even know if it's for show that they pretend that they hate each other.
The other thing is for show so they can get more people to watch.
Yeah, like
everything. You know, and why do they want more people to watch?
You're saying the pregame, they're always yelling, fighting, like throwing chairs at each other to get the tension up.
Yeah, throw it, like Connor. I don't know if he picked up that thing and threw it at the bus.
No, he did.
And
he did.
Yeah, but why? Was it to get more
eyeballs?
Was it set?
100%.
Was it exactly?
Well, he's by far the most profitable and most marketable UFC fighter because of those tactics.
Exactly. So is that a tactic to get more eyeballs between, you know what I mean?
It's one of them.
And what does that bring when you have more viewers?
Brings more money.
There you go.
More advertising.
So,
more everything.
I don't feel like I learned that much, but the key is it's not about me. I just want to make sure, and my brothers want to make sure, we all have more of a critical eye. And not only, you know, our situation regarding our uncle, but in everything, you know, and
think for yourself, like do the research, you know, teacher Dr. Holbeck, I'm going to give him a shout out, you know, from Buckley. The first thing he taught us, and I'll never forget him for this. Didn't even do good in this class. Didn't do well in his class.
I got a B plus.
I got a B and I was happy with it.
Oh, man, I was so excited.
You got a B plus and you got a B?
That's because he liked me. And so he got the benefits of him liking
me. He was the best teacher I've ever had. He was so good.
He taught us critical thinking. He actually showed two events from the Boston Tea Party from both sides. And we read two literatures. And both of them were claiming the others were savages. And he said, which one is right? This is two events.
Yeah,
and they're both saying the exact same thing. He goes, "You have to look at the artist or the the author because there's a prejudice there. He's trying to sell you something, or she's trying to sell you something."
True.
He made us take out our books, and he said, "Here's your history books." He's like, "Get rid of them." He's like, "Did you open up and see who they are?" He's like, "These are three white males that wrote these books about slavery and all
respect."
That. He's like, "This is prejudice." He's like, "I'm going to teach you both sides," and so I've always since then looked at both sides for things, you know.
Respect.
Right?
He was incredible.
He retired the year before me.
No.
But that's something
that I never really thanked him. I mean, I thanked him, but he really changed my life. And he probably didn't even know it.
Yeah, it's great.
From then on, I was always looking at both sides for everything.
Well, with that said, anything else you guys want to say before I wrap up the show?
No, I think Todd said it best. You really got to think for yourself. And I think people are getting wiser and up to it and not depending as much on the outlets that are out there because you can't trust them.
Yeah.
You know?
Taj, anything?
No, and if you do find out the truth, it's okay to admit that you're wrong. You know, I think some people have pride and they're like, you know, well, I still... It's like, no, it's fine. You got duped, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing
there's
wrong.
There's nothing wrong with it. A lot of people do.
It's more respect when you can say...
I've said it before on Twitter that I was wrong on certain things.
Yeah.
I don't remember what because I'm usually not wrong. Yeah.
says you.
I'm more careful now. That's why I said. Yeah.
Well, I know it wasn't completely on the inspiration resource community, so no one feels alone. But it is an important thing for you to understand.
I think it affects everybody in some way.
It's important for all of us to be reminded of that because no matter what you are going through, and if we just rely on what we see and hear, it can be a dangerous thing. So just continue to research, continue to see things from both sides as possible, and we feel it's going to make your life more fulfilling and more real. With that said, we're going to wrap up the show. It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. I probably should have said that at the beginning.
That would have helped.
But again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. And on behalf of us three and our entire foundation, thanks for listening. And that's it. Adios, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.